This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Just a reminder that we have a new updated Civic Media app.
Oh, baby.
If you have not downloaded it yet, I encourage you to do so. It's absolutely free. Go to your app store and look for Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media, and download the Civic Media app. It also allows you to select the communities across the state you want to get news stories from. Our news team is doing a great job of curating things depending upon where you are in Wisconsin. So check it out, the Civic Media app. What are you smiling at?
Would you say it's absolutely free?
I would say, nice. It's an absolutely free app. All
right. Thank you.
He's happy now.
So proud of myself.
Very excited to have our next guest join us. She is the executive director of the Wisconsin Building Trades Council. Emily Pritzkow is here. Good morning, Emily. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Jane. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk solar. This announcement came out last week on November 15th. The Apple River Solar Project, a utility-scale solar development in northwestern Wisconsin, has announced the beginning of major construction. It's one of the first utility-scale clean energy developments to break ground after the agreement between Wisconsin's four major utilities and state building trade unions in March. So, Emily, what does this mean? What is this all about, and how can people get involved or find out more?
Yeah, it's an exciting time here in Wisconsin. I think the reason we are kind of shouting about Apple River from the rooftops is because it's one of our first projects that is breaking ground that is being enabled by the Inflation Reduction Act, which has been, I mean, no pun intended, a groundbreaking piece of policy that our members have really benefited from across the state here in Wisconsin and across the country. It's also great news for the area up in northwest Wisconsin where Apple River is going to be operating. It means $36 million in direct economic impact for those communities and an additional $10 million in tax revenue for Polk County and those local governments up there. And then jobs for our members, union jobs, family supporting union jobs, jobs where our registered apprenticeships can exist, where we have members earning as they learn on their way to become a journey worker on these new solar projects. And then operational in late 2025, where it's going to generate enough electrical usage to power an estimated 26,000 homes every
Wow.
year.
Yeah.
That's great.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. Yeah. And I always personally, I'm someone who graduated from trade school. I love hearing about apprenticeship work, about union work, especially like those trade jobs, because those are so very important and vital. And we need to get those that information out there more for young people, especially.
I couldn't agree more. That's a big part of my role here at the State Building Trades is getting the word out about those jobs, because as you probably know, Greg, people call them the best kept secret, and that's really a shame. These should not be a secret.
No.
In some cases, these are six-figure careers in a skilled trade, really stable work, always in demand, excellent benefits, healthcare, flexibility in your schedule, the opportunity to see different places all over your state or country or world. So pretty neat opportunity.
Well, and the thing when you learn these skills too, Emily, is you can take them with you forever. These kinds of skills, whether you're, you know, a laborer or a carpenter or an electrician or something, you take that with you wherever you go. It's correct. Just it's
and such you're a, always learning.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just such an ass. It's such an asset. It really is. And as you've said too, Emily, you get to learn as you're getting paid if you get in as an apprentice. When are you too old to become an apprentice?
You're never too old to become an apprentice.
Never.
We have apprentices that start in their 50s. And we have apprentices, I think our median age, I'll have to look at that. I believe it's right around 30 because we do get a fair amount of folks that come right out of high school. They're like, this is what I want to do. I know, but we have a lot of people that enter the trades after they've maybe gone to a four-year institution or they've gone straight into the workforce right out of high school. And they're maybe looking at starting a family or looking around that the career they thought that they would be in when they're hitting around age 30 is not exactly what they had hoped it would be. And they come into the trades that way.
I came in my late 30s. So
you did.
Yes.
And you went to college.
I went to college. I have a degree in political science. Sorry, Mom. And
she's so disappointed in you.
But I had a job. I got let go from that job. I didn't want to work in that environment anymore. And I went back to school to MATC. I got an apprenticeship in barbering. I learned how to cut hair. It was a 2-year program. And as you said, that is training you can't take away from me. That's something that's in me forever. And I think, as you said, Emily, best kept secret shouldn't be the case. The amount of jobs that are out there that are available to people in this country, when we're talking about job growth, so many of those jobs lie within the trades. And they are just always going to be there. Many of those jobs are recession proof too. People are always going to need a plumber, electrician, a barber, those kinds of things. And what Emily, what you do is fantastic. I'm a huge fan.
Well, and I think too that those are some things that are they're going to be really difficult to turn into robotics.
Yes.
Right? And because that seems to be, you know, the way that we're going in so many areas, we're going to have everything handled by robots now. But some of those jobs just can't be done that way. They have to be done by humans.
Yeah.
That is absolutely correct. Yes. These are very, have been, and, you know, we've been operating for, honestly, our model is hundreds of years old, but operating in Wisconsin as the unions, you know, today, in some cases over 130 years. And there's a reason for that longevity.
If you're just joining us, Emily Pritzko is our guest. She's the executive director of the Wisconsin Building Trades Council. And we're talking about this new announcement about a major utility solar project development in the Apple River area. And you had mentioned too, Emily, that this is going to bring a lot of jobs to an area of Wisconsin that probably really needs them.
Yes. This project itself, which we're partnered with the Bolt Company, which is a union contractor, means 150 union construction jobs for our members. But, you know, when you look at statewide, we just had a recent study that was put out by the Midwest Economic Policy Institute and UW-Whitewater. And it showed that these types of projects that come up through the IRA are going to have an enormous impact on the state. So if Apple River and Northwest Wisconsin is not where you see yourself in your new career, they are popping up all over. For every $1 billion that is invested in clean energy in Wisconsin, that means about 2,700 jobs and about $1.6 billion in economic activity across the state. So this is big news, and this is why we're using Apple River as an example to talk about what this is going to mean all over.
When we talk about these topics of like of jobs in America, jobs for Americans, I mean all people who can qualify for these jobs, honestly, this makes me so happy because it just makes sense. You put the investment in and you're going to get an ROI, both in capital from the people and the money that it's generating and just all the things you get from it, from, you know, building shops around the area because it becomes a more, you know, there's more to do there. There's,
right.
You know, it just makes sense. And I'm not going to get political on this one. You're welcome, Emily. But like when people try to stand in the way of it, it makes no sense. We've got the money. Let's use it. Let's invest in our people. and let's see what happens, and we're going to grow.
Well, and we have talked, Emily, to we have an oil and gas expert that joins us every once in a while called Matt Randolph. He's called Mr. Global. He's been in oil and gas for 30 years. He has his own oil company, but he is very much about solar and greener, cleaner energies in order to continue to fulfill the needs of Americans. It's just the way to go, rather than drill, baby, drill for everything. That is not the answer to everything.
Correct. This is kind of going to be the new generation of our workforce in a lot of ways. And I think it makes it what is already should be a really appealing career for young people all the more appealing. It's also become extremely appealing, again, for the so-called free market. I mean, we just had a historic announcement this spring from the four major utilities in the state that have chosen moving forward for all renewable projects to use union labor. Why? Because it's a good business decision for them. The outcomes with union labor are second to none as far as our efficiency, our workforce, our skill level, our safety. But it also means great things for the state in the sense of what you were saying, Greg, that when you hire local workers to construct these projects,
yes,
the skills they learn on the job stay in Wisconsin. They don't travel elsewhere in the country and take all that knowledge with them. But also the money they spend, their property taxpayers, they're members of our school board. They have families here. So the family supporting wages they earn working on these projects stay in Wisconsin. And that's a win-win for everyone.
Absolutely. It's what they're earning is going back into the economy and supporting other local businesses.
Exactly correct.
I love it. I love it.
Emily, if someone is listening and maybe has a teenager or a frustrated college student at home, what would you recommend that they do?
Well, our website is wisconsinbuildingtrades.org. For most of these projects, we have four trades. So if you're interested in specifically working on solar projects, that would be the Carpenters Union, the Laborers Union, the International Union of Electrical Workers, and the Operating Engineers. So come learn about apprenticeships and join us.
Drive a crane. I did it once. It's really great. Emily Pritzko has been our guest. Thank you so much, Emily. We will talk to you soon. Take care.
Take care. Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Coming up after the 11:30 news, Paul Trebian is going to be in studio with us. He's the president and CEO of the International Institute of Wisconsin, which puts on the Holiday Folk Fair International every year.
I love the Holiday
Folk Fair. I know, I do too, and it is coming up. It's always right around Thanksgiving. So we're going to get all the details from Paul about what you can expect at this year's Holiday Folk Fair. And we'll wrap up the show, as we always do now, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, insurance fraud edition. You're going to want to stick around for that. We wanted to mention this because this makes me really sad. Obviously, yeah. This is sad anytime it happens to a business owner. But Oscar's Frozen Custard on Moreland Road in Waukesha.
Yeah.
Is a total loss after a fire overnight. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Claire Reed, Oscar's frozen custard Waukesha destroyed early this morning. Town of Brookfield Fire Department Assistant Chief Tony D'Amico says they responded about 12:15 after a passerby called 911 to report the fire. Apparently, it started somewhere in the roof and ceiling area of the custard shop. The cause is currently unknown, but fire damage caused the roof to collapse into the building, and the building cannot be repaired now and is considered a total loss. That's really a tragic.
Oscar's is a legendary, iconic
burger place. It's been there a long time.
And they're all, I mean, there's a couple places, and they have wonderful burgers. They have just great atmosphere.
They have great corn dogs. Every great once in a while, I don't make it to the state fair,
Do
you ever get a cravings for something that's just kind of like, I don't know where that came from, but I must have it
now.
Yes. That's where I would go for corn dogs, Oscar's. They do still have other locations, Greg, as you mentioned, in Milwaukee. There's one on South 108th Street, and then in Franklin on South 27th Street. A social media post from Oscar's said that they will be open today, so maybe you want to go get some...
Yeah.
Go get something to eat, pick up something from the other Oscars, and show them some support today.
Absolutely. I remember going to Oscars as a kid. Culver's was around at that point because I'm not that old, but Oscars and Murph's, those were the two places my family
Murph's.
And Cops for big burgers. I always had like those big burgers.
A burger as big as your head.
Oh, I love it so much. Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that maybe if I don't know about the situation. I know the building is unusable, but maybe they can rebuild there or they'll get another location. I don't know, but it's a shame.
It's a shame. Absolutely. And again, the cause of this fire as of right now is undetermined. I'm sure they will get more details when they become available. But yeah, if you can go and maybe go get a corn dog today, you know you want one.
I think Jane wants a corn
dog. There should be corn dogs for everyone.
Calvin, have you ever been to Oscar's? Do you know of their loveliness?
I can't say that I've ever been there, but it's definitely a landmark that I'm used to seeing when I drive past.
Yeah.
I know.
It's just...
It's a shame. I guess on the plus side, no one was hurt. You know, this did happen after midnight, so at least no one was there and no one got hurt. But again, you're going to have, you know, workers now that are going to be scrambling, I would imagine, mm-hmm. and right before the holidays.
I'm hoping maybe they can go to other locations. That didn't even occur to me until this moment, right before the holidays, and people need the money and the hours most. And
so go support your local Oscars.
Yes, please.
Again, there's one at 2362 South 108th Street. And in Franklin, at 7041 South 27th Street. And look for their social media posts from Oscars if they have any updated information. Again, just talking about the Oscars in Waukesha on Moreland Road, essentially destroyed by an overnight fire.
And if you get something, whether it's custard, whether it's burger, or a corn dog, take a picture of yourself and send it to us. Or put it on social media and support them.
Yes, that's
and
a great
tag
idea.
Us. We'd love to see you supporting local here. Especially for, like I said, an iconic, in my opinion, southeastern Wisconsin business. So,
the one we had in Hartford was the Pines.
Oh, really? Was it like burgers as big as your head type of thing?
But it was a much smaller, you know, it was a drive.
Yeah.
The drive through with the car hops. And that was the only game in, I know, that was the only game in town for a long time.
Oh, boy.
And I had gone back to visit once to see my mother, and she wanted to go there. And I kid you not, a guy brought his girlfriend and they wanted to taste four different samples of ice cream.
Yeah.
And then they left. That was like their date. Come out with me, baby. I'll take you out for some ice cream samples.
Well, it's a small dining experience. It's a tiny plate. It's like a chef's menu.
It's a tiny plate experience.
For the tiniest of spoons.
All right. We wish send our best to Oscars and the folks at Oscars and all the employees and go get a corn dog or a burger or something today.
God, I'm hungry now. Thanks a lot.
Share the photos. You can always send them to us. You can send almost anything to us.
Yeah.
At Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us, including if you ever have a thing, which should not be, That's where you want to send it as well.
Nice.
News is coming up next, and then when we return, we are talking all things holiday folk fairs. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Cal Viente on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at 11:51, as always, we'll wrap up today's show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's Insurance Fraud Edition. It's a good one. You may want to stick around for that. Excited to have in studio with us, Dr. Paul Trebian is our guest. We saw you last year around this time. President and CEO of the International Institute of Wisconsin, which produces Holiday Folk Fair International. Good morning, Paul. Thanks so much for driving down to join us in Racine.
Yeah, good morning. It's great to be here.
I can't believe it's this time already. The Holiday Folk Fair kicks off Friday.
Well, it just seems like we did it last year.
It does. Right away. It really does. Yes.
Yeah, it's really good. It takes all year to plan it and do things, so we're real excited to get this going this year.
So where will it be held, just for folks who are not sure?
Well, it's going to be at the Exposition Center in Wisconsin State Fair Park, and we have it there all the time. We have the same layout, so there's some familiarity with it, and we have some differences through the theme. So it's going to be great at State Fair Park.
There's always lots of parking there too.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the theme for this year's Folk Fair?
Well, the theme is celebrate the culture of traditional art. And then, of course, traditional desserts is the food this year.
Yes.
Yes.
All
yes.
about the desserts.
That's art in and of itself. Please and thank you.
That is very special to me too, the art.
Well, and I can by what you're wearing, because I know we talked about this the last time that you came out. For people who are watching in the live stream, and it's really so beautiful, please explain the meaning behind what you're wearing.
Well, this is our traditional dress. That was the theme last year. So this is our regalia, and it's all about remembering. And it's full of art. When you look at it, you'll see symbols of eagle, symbols of shark. And so I'm Shark Clan, Wushkitan, Eagle House, Chak, and my name is Chdekichtech, which is long seafaring bird. So it's all about remembering your mother and your grandmother and honoring your father and your grandfather.
And the beadwork is so beautiful.
Oh, my mother did this. I'm glad you noticed. Now, what's really important about that is that because you did notice it and you honored it, you actually honor my mother. So thank you so much. Thank you.
But
goodness sheesh, that's our biggest word.
I'm delighted to honor your mother. That's not something you do on a machine.
Yes,
that's
by hand.
The how painstaking that must be. That's really a skill.
And that's one of the reasons why the traditional art is a theme. And it's so exciting to me because it's so near and dear to my heart. I remember my mother. And we have other cultures that have similar meanings and phenomenon behind their art. So coming out to Holiday Folk Fair, you get to see all that and start to look for the similarities and the differences. And we can celebrate those.
And that's one of the things, too, is that, you know, Wisconsin is such a so culturally diverse. There's so many different groups of individuals who are here. And when you go to the folk fair, you know, I implore people, you know, what do you know about yourself? Are you German? Are you Polish? Are you indigenous? Are you whatever? Find where your booth is. Find where your, quote unquote, your people are and find out a little bit about yourself. Because I think especially for people of European descent, we don't celebrate that a lot. We don't know a lot about our own culture. And I think when we learn about where we come from, even just a little bit, we then can build places of respect for other people who celebrate their culture. I think that's very, very important. I think the Holiday Folk Fair plays a really big role in that, both in the celebratory. I love desserts, but also seeing the artwork, the clothing, and just the interactions. I think it's so much more than just a Holiday Folk Fair. It's a really great experience.
Yeah, I love the phrase that I hear at Holiday Folk Fair, which is, you know, come and see. Come and dance, maybe. Come see, dance, taste, and then learn.
Yeah.
And so, you know, dance, taste, learn. That is such a neat way to think about it. And you're absolutely right. If we actually know where we came from, it kind of points a direction of where we're going. Because if you take what the past was, intersect where you're currently at, it'll give you a vector of where you're headed. And that's what my grandmother always taught me, that if you want to be more like the past, you'll start changing your choices. And sometimes that is something that we need. Why reinvent the wheel?
they got some things right then.
They did get some things right.
Yeah.
So where do you get, my sister and I went to the Holiday Folk Fair last year and had a wonderful time. And what we really enjoyed was the dance program. Do these dancers come from all over the world?
Well, we have local groups, and they're very dedicated, and they pass on their values. This year, we're bringing back the international feel to it. We have a dance group from Croatia. I believe they are called the Folk Ensemble Lindo Band. And then we also have out of state from Colorado, the Rocky Mountain Express Cloggers. So we're going to be starting to bring groups that are professional from outside the United States and more within the United States as well. So this is the beginning of getting back to that. It's a really neat to see that. I went to another folk festival recently in Utah, and a bunch of groups from outside the United States were participating. That's how we got the contact. And so it's really neat. Our groups here have the touch going back to their roots in Europe. And they have really a good following here. And if we continue to do that, it'll keep it going for generations to come.
Well, and it was just so interesting to see how differing the styles are and how differing the music is. And you go from a very ethereal type of performance to heavy drumming and, you know, and it just felt good. If you're just joining us, Paul Trevian is our guest. He's the president and CEO of the International Institute of Wisconsin, which produces the Holiday Folk Fair International, and that is kicking off at State Fair Park in West Allis this Friday, and it runs through Sunday. We've been talking about the art, Paul. We've been talking about the dance, a little bit about food. Food is another one of the big draws.
I think that's something that I always get a comment when they people are walking through the door, like, I can hardly wait to see if my favorite food is still there. And they go, you see the kids run to it. You know, they're supposed to be, you know, not running so much, but the excitement is what you see in the kids. And I see it in the faces of the adults as well. So the food is a good draw. It really does put a stake in the ground, like you had said before. It's part of the culture. You mm-hmm. get the taste what has been passed down. And I certainly do have my sweet favorites.
I was just going to ask.
What are your favorites?
What's your favorite? And is it like State Fair in and of itself, where you know that there's going to be something coming this year that you haven't tried? Or is there like new stuff happening this year? Or is just there's tried and true desserts or tried and true foods? And there's like, oh, this year I'm going to try something from, you know, the Polish stand. Let's see, you know, what do you like?
Well, what I like is, as you can see, that I'm native Alaskan. Mm-hmm. However, I do have a German background as well. Mm-hmm. And so I like to go for the German desserts. And my grandmother always made a really good German cake. So I always look for the treats from the German food. And that just kind of brings back memories. Like, especially, like, there's so much going on. I'm so busy at the fair. I take time, go to the desserts, sit down and relax and think about my grandmother on that side of the family. And so that's why I go. And I think that's another thing, too, is that when people go there, like you said, find your heritage, your culture, and to begin to taste and learn about that. See how you can get involved in preserving your culture and heritage. And talk to people who are next to you and say, this is my value. Is your value the same? And sometimes they are, sometimes they're different. But what I like about Holiday Folk Fair is that we sit there and we celebrate our differences, which is something we need right now.
More than ever.
Definitely celebrate them and understand that we all have them. And that is what makes us really wonderful. And
absolutely.
Great,
so. Tickets are $13 in advance, $16 at the gate for ages 8 to 61. And if you're 62 or older with an ID, $13 at the gate. Children 7 and under and all military personnel with a military ID are admitted at no charge. We will put all the links in our show notes after the show is over if you would like to get some tickets in advance, and then a link to your website too so they can check out some of the more specific things, some of the food, some of the dancers, some of the events. There's a big worship service on Sunday too.
Yes, we do have worship service. Sometimes it's just a prayer service. It depends on availability. But I really do think that that is something that I think we all share in common, is that there are times where we need to be quiet and we need to have a time to find our center. And I really like that. I try to participate in that too. A couple of times as a board member, I would actually share some music that is spiritual oriented. So that is always a good time to come.
And what about smaller children? Are there activities for the kids?
Well, I'm really glad you brought that up. This Friday, 9 to 2, is Education Day. A bunch of schools come. We are set to break the record. We have over 4,000 participants already signed up. And that exceeds what we had last year. So the numbers are going up. And I really do think that, you know, this is something that the children can see. It's something different. We also have a children's program from 11:15 to 12:45 on Sunday. I think it's important for them to see that there's a larger world out there and that there is a deep past that they can take a look at and see how it can be used today.
Absolutely.
I think that's wonderful.
Absolutely.
I think that's absolutely fantastic.
And the one thing my sister and I especially noticed last year when we were looking at some of the food options is, as some of these communities move to our area, there are new food options. And from some cultures that you might not have thought of.
We do have new foods come, and I don't have the complete list yet because they're still setting things up. But that is something that I think is really neat. We have the same layout, but when you go there, you go to Heritage Lane, you'll see something new, something developed. Maybe even in your cultural booth, there's something new to see. Same thing with the food. A new food vendor comes, and you're like, wow. This is a very neat aroma I wonder what it tastes like. And so you can get that salty craving. You can get that sugary craving. You can get that refreshment. It's just something that really calms you and helps you to find your center. Even though it's all this commotion going on, it's something that is happy.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's very happy. And it's a chance for you to expand your horizons mm-hmm. without even having to leave and go far away.
Exactly. How many years?
This is the 81st.
81st.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
And so International Institute of Wisconsin has been around for over 100 years. Mm-hmm. And I've been part of that work effort for 12 years. But there are people who are teachers coming on Education Day who remember being kids.
Yeah. When they first came.
Yeah.
That's where I learned about it. I went as a kid. I would go there. Did they still have the passports?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they'd give us passports, and you would run. We wouldn't run. We would walk expeditiously to booth to get our stamps and see who got the most stamps. But yeah, that was when I was in grade school.
Check it out. It is this weekend at State Fair Park in West Dallas, the Holiday Folk Fair International. Paul Trevian, the president and CEO of the International Institute of Wisconsin, which puts on the fair, has been our guest. Thank you so very much, Paul. It was so nice to see you.
Great to see you. Thanks for coming. So much.
Stay with us. When we return, we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Insurance Fraud Edition. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Galby on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. The number is the same. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. I wanted to mention this very quickly. Oh, I just lost it. Jesse Apoyan, posting on Twitter, the Wisconsin Office of Lawyer Regulation has filed a complaint against former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, alleging violations of the Wisconsin Rules of Professional Conduct for Attorneys. Story coming soon.
Ooh.
We going to get our $2 million back?
Looks like, Jesse is a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Hopefully that'd be great. Repay that.
Our $2 million.
Hand it over to Robin.
Yeah, that we spent for Michael Gableman to chase around the country and attend symposiums by My Pillow Guy looking for evidence of voter fraud, of which there was none.
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 According to Zippo. The Popcorn King.
Robin Voss. Robin Voss said it himself. All right. It is 11:53, Calvin. That means it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, janesays at civicmedia.us. From the Associated Press, headline reads, insurers say bear that damaged luxury cars was actually a person in a bear costume. Called Operation Bear Claw.
Oh my God.
According to the California Insurance Department, four LA residents were arrested last week accused of defrauding three insurance companies out of almost $150,000 by claiming a bear had damaged their vehicles. Now, it's not like this never happens, because that actually does happen. I've seen videos of bears going after a car or something that's in the car, usually. The group is accused of providing video footage from the mountain area of a bear moving inside of a Rolls Royce and two Mercedes. So they took this video footage and took it to the insurance companies as part of their damage claims. Photos provided by the insurance department show what do appear to be scratches on the seats and the doors. But after the insurance companies looked at the video of the Rolls Royce, they suspected this was not actually a bear, but someone in a bear costume. Detectives found two additional claims with two different insurance companies with the same date of loss and at the same location. Similar video was provided of the bear inside of those vehicles. It is not immediately known if the four people arrested had attorneys. Well, I'm going to need one now.
Yeah.
The department had a biologist from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife review the three videos, concluding, quote, it was clearly a human in a bear suit, unquote.
It was clearly a human in a bear suit. God, yeah, this is what I went to college for?
Guy in a bear suit. Bears breaking into homes, again from the Associated Press. And trash cans searching for food has become a problem in California, all over the place, from Tahoe down to the foothills of Los Angeles. They've also been, you know, photographed in tubs and stuff. But maybe you guys, if you're going to try and commit insurance fraud, scale up the bear costume.
I put that in the notes. If you're going to commit fraud, spend a little money on the costume.
Well, invest in the venture. This just seems like a very half-hearted effort.
Yeah, it's not. I would watch a movie about the failure of this mission. I would watch a movie, a good comedy about just like just bumbling idiots.
We got this great idea, Bill.
By great idea, you mean we're going to go to jail probably?
Well, no, that's not it.
Okay.
We're going to rent a bear costume. We will include this in our show notes. You really do need to see a picture of this costume. It's worth it.
she says with air quotes coming out of her mouth.
That wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up tomorrow, Dr. Laura Hanks will be here with public cervix announcement. Looking ahead to Thursday, retired Major General and member of National Security Leaders for America, Randy Manner, is going to be back with us. We are going to talk about some of the potential cabinet members that Donald Trump is considering for his next administration, as well as he is talking about bringing back retired military members so they can be held to trial.
That doesn't, honestly, like, that seriously feels like that's something that isn't a thing. Like,
well, we'll find out. Randy Manner, that will be here on Thursday. News is coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6 p.m., and of course, Pete Schwabba will wrap it up tonight, 6 to 8. Don't forget, Earl Ingram kicks off the mornings here in Racine at 8 a.m. So tune in for that.
All right.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.